Hello, thank you for joining me on this podcast. And we're tackling the subject of depression, which is a major subject, a very important subject. Recently, someone I knew, and he used to be a friend a long time ago, and I just saw a poster. Someone sent me the poster of his obituary. And it was, we hadn't been in touch in years, so there was no way of knowing what was going on with him. And I didn't have his contact either. But the person told me that this former friend of mine had been depressed for a long time. Well, she didn't know that. She also found out after he had died. Depression is a major problem. Okay, and it's not something to be just trivialized. Say, oh, you are unhappy. Why are you unhappy? So what is depression? I use this definition for it. I said excessive and prolonged sadness. Excessive and prolonged sadness. So if somebody's dog died, they'll be sad about it. They might even cry over the loss of the dog, but they'll get over it over time. So it won't be prolonged. Then there's also, they'll still, maybe if they can, they'll take a day off of work. But you don't expect them that maybe 2 weeks later, they are still not able to go to work. They're not able to do any assignment or their work. That would be called excessive. So sadness that is excessive and prolonged qualifies for depression. There are multiple triggers. I say triggers because there are people who, you can have two groups of people. One group experiences such an event and they quickly bounce back out of it. The other group experiences the same thing and then they don't really recover. Okay, so the Bible has quite a lot to say about this thing. One thing that I found interesting was the story of David. You know, David was a great man. Was actually my favorite, one of my favorite Bible characters. So David was a great warrior, a king, successful king, and everything. But getting to the end of David's life, I found it quite disturbing that David, at the age of 70, the Bible says he ruled for 40 years. He was 30 years when he became king. When he became king, he was king over Israel for a period, and then for 7 years. And then at the end of the 7 years, all of Israel, he was king over Judah for 7 years. At the end of the 7 years, all of Israel came together and made him king. So he became king over all of Israel for 33 years. So if you combine the two, that's 40 years. So he reigned for 40 years. So he was 70 years. And 70 years really is not that great a length of time. So you wouldn't say that he was that old. But by 70, David was totally bedfast. And the Bible says that even he couldn't keep himself warm. So he struggled a lot. So it used to bother my mind. So then as I gained more understanding of these things, I wanted to trace the life of David and find out whether there was a period in his life where he suffered a major, period. He suffered maybe from depression or became sad due to an event. Okay, because I was able to tie in the link between the two. So it's what is interesting is that David had a son. You'll find that David had a son called Absalom. So most of you know the story of Absalom. So when David, this Absalom, the Bible says David really loved him. He never even corrected him. He was just a beautiful boy. And Absalom had a sister. So that would be David's daughter called Tamar. So one of David's other sons, Amnon, who was David's, I think, eldest son or so, actually raped Tamar. And so this Tamar was Absalom's sister, his mother's daughter and his father's daughter. Absalom was so upset about it, but the Bible says he never spoke to Amnon about it, never said a word to him, but he plotted his revenge and he killed Amnon. So when he killed Amnon, he had to escape from the country. He went outside for a while, then he came back and ostensibly reunited with his father David. But there was a period where Absalom began to turn the hearts of the people towards himself. And the Bible says he won the hearts of all Israel. So when David found out, he had to run for his dear life. So he ran away from the city. So David had his loyalists with him, and Absalom now commanded the entire Israelite army. And they went into battle. So when they were going into battle, David wanted to lead his army. His army said, absolutely not, because this whole war is because of you. Once you die, that's the end of it. So you are not going to come into battle with us so that something will happen to you and that will be the end of it. He said, no, you stay in the tower and give us moral support. So David told his commanders that, when you go, be gentle with the young man Absalom for my sake. And Absalom, his head got caught in a tree. So someone came and told Joab that, hey, Joab, I saw Absalom hanging in a tree. Joab said, what? You saw that criminal hanging in a tree? Why didn't you just strike him with a javelin? And I would have given you a lot of gold and a warrior's belt and everything. And the soldier said, absolutely not. We're all there when the king gave you an instruction that don't be gentle with his son for his sake. So Joab was having none of it. He had had enough of Absalom's shenanigans. And so he went and found Absalom and took three javelins and plunged them into Absalom's heart, and Absalom died. So he killed the king's son, who was a traitor. Okay, so they sent someone to come and tell the king what had happened, a guy called Cushi. So let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 18, verse 31. And behold, Cushi came, and Cushi said, tidings, my lord the king, for the Lord has avenged thee this day of all them that rose up against thee. And the king said unto Cushi, because Cushi was the messenger, the king said unto Cushi, is a young man Absalom safe? And Cushi answered, you don't even find a name you can tell, so Cushi was probably a black man. Anyway, is a young man Absalom safe? And Cushi answered, the enemies of my lord the king and all that rise against thee to do thee hurt, be as that young man. So David asked this messenger, is Absalom safe? Because Cushi had told him that God had delivered him from his enemies. So David's concern was for his son. So Cushi said, anybody who wants to harm my lord the king, may that person end up like Absalom. And the king was much moved and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, thus he said, oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom. Would God I had died for thee, oh Absalom, my son. So this is what happened here. So David was mourning for his son. So the death of Absalom really grieved David. He probably never fully recovered from it. Chapter 19, 2 Samuel, chapter 19, verse 1. And it was told Joab, behold, the king weepeth and mourneth for Absalom. And the victory that day was turned into mourning unto all the people. For the people heard say that day how the king was grieved for his son. And the people got them by stealth that day into the city. Means they sneaked into the city, as people being ashamed steal away when they flee in battle. So they were no longer confident. They felt ashamed, as if they had lost the battle. But these were David's soldiers, and they had won the battle. But when they heard that the king was so grieved for his son, they just sneaked in. But the king covered his face, and the king cried with a loud voice, oh, my son Absalom, oh, Absalom, my son, my son. So this was an extreme period of grief for David. Even though Joab threatened him, so David had to go and join the troops and encourage the troops. But this was something that he took a hit from this. So when you go to the end of David's life, you don't find him, you know, being that strong man and everything that he used to be, you know. 1 Kings chapter 1 verse 1. Now King David was old and stricken in years, and they covered him with clothes, but he got no heat. See? So this old and stricken in years. He was not even 70 at this time. He was not even 70, because he died at 70. So this was probably 68 or something, and he couldn't keep himself warm. So they had to actually get someone come and lie by him. So when you look at this, because this was someone who had a wonderful relationship with the Lord. The Lord gave him so many victories everywhere. But so yeah, people can love the Lord and still suffer from depression or battle with what? Depression. Okay, because this was just the rebellion of Absalom actually happened getting to the end of David's life. So this tells you something about the power of what? Depression. The Bible says a merry heart does good like medicine. But it says about a broken spirit dries the bones. It dries the bones. So this he had what? Excessive and prolonged grief or sadness for his son. He said he had been through a harrowing experience. There are people who went through certain, maybe a painful divorce or some domestic abuse, domestic violence, those kinds of things. And you find that same person sometimes becoming sick later. Okay, they suffer from multiple kinds of chronic conditions and all that. And sometimes if you don't pay attention, you'll not be able to link the two. But sometimes too, the depression does not have a traceable cause. There's not a specific cause that you could trace it to. But you could just, the person is just sad for a long period of time. Okay, so these are things that the enemy uses as a weapon against even the people of God. And sometimes it starts with a negative image. And then once the person dwells on that image grows bigger and bigger and bigger. And so everything is seen through the lens of that negative image that the enemy has shown them. So when they dwell on it so much, they become sad for prolonged periods of time. It can incapacitate them. You know, they can't do anything. And sometimes even believers can be uncharitable, because when they've not experienced what people go through in terms of like depression, they tend to be dismissive. So why are you depressed? You should have no reason to be depressed and all that. But this is a weapon that the enemy uses to cripple even the most effective, otherwise the most effective or people. So the Bible says we are not ignorant of his devices. And I'm going to spend some time to talk about this and what the Bible says on this matter or about this matter. Okay, what the Bible says about this matter. I used to wonder why the Lord told the high priest, Aaron, that he should not mourn for his sons or even for his family. So let's go look for it. Mm-hmm. So there was Aaron had two sons, okay, Nadab and Abihu, and they went into the presence of the Lord without authorization. You know, they went to the most holy place and when they offered fire. The Bible says that they offered strange fire. And that strange fire that they went and put in front of the Lord, the Bible says when they did that, God killed the two of them. In one day, God killed the two of them. Let's go to the book of Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 10. The book of Leviticus chapter 10. Leviticus chapter 10 from verse 1. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. See? And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said unto Aaron, this is it that the Lord speaks, saying, I'll be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people I'll be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. So Aaron didn't say anything. And Moses called Mishael and Elzaphan, the sons of Uzziel, the uncle of Aaron, and said unto them, come near, carry your brethren from before the sanctuary out of the camp. So they went near and carried them in their coats out of the camp, as Moses had said. And Moses said unto Aaron and unto Eleazar and Ithamar. So Aaron had four sons. So you had Nadab and Abihu, and then you had Eleazar and Ithamar. So Moses spoke to Aaron and his two remaining sons and said, uncover not your heads, neither rend your clothes, lest you die, and lest wrath come upon all the people. But let your brethren, the whole house of Israel, bewail the burning which the Lord had kindled. So he told Aaron that, hey, you are not going to mourn yourself for the death of Nadab and Abihu. Okay. So, and there were other times where he gave instructions to Aaron the high priest. The high priest was not supposed to grieve. He was not supposed to mourn for distant relations and all that. So you think, what kind of restrictive cult is this? But if you understand how things work, you'd realize that there was a reason for that. There's a reason for that. Sadness is not something that encourages the flow of God's spirit. Okay? It does not really encourage. That's why the Bible said, this is the day that the Lord has been said, and let us rejoice and be glad in it. Okay? Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, why is it so keen on us rejoicing and being glad in it? Because when you rejoice and you are glad in it, you are making the day holy. And when you do that, God's blessings can flow. God's grace can increase and multiplications and all that. But in the absence of that, you know, sadness has an impact. Okay? Now, let's go to, before I go to Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, I want to go to something, another scripture. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22. It says, a merry heart doeth good like medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. You see that? A broken spirit does what? It dries the bones. A merry heart does good like medicine. The next translation says, a cheerful heart brings good healing, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. You see? A crushed spirit dries up the bones. So, that is not something that you want you want to hang around much. And God is very particular about that. So that's why he told the high priest was not supposed to mourn even for his relatives, not even for his relatives. And that was quite an extreme, a serious command. Now let's go to Nehemiah chapter 8 verse 10. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. It says, from verse 9 actually, and Nehemiah, which is the shatter, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. He told them what? Neither be ye sorry, okay? For the joy of the Lord is your strength. Let's go to the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 1. When you go to, you know the background to this story. It's about Hannah, who was married to a man called Elkanah. And then she had a rival called Peninnah. So Peninnah used to gloat over Hannah because Hannah didn't have a child, but Peninnah had multiple children. So the matter depressed, got Hannah into depression. So she was distressed. So what did she do? 1 Samuel chapter 1 verse 9. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. Do you see that? She was in bitterness of soul. So this was an ongoing problem that she was suffering from. So she became bitter in her soul. You know, it says that the heart has its, nobody knows that heart, you know, the sorrow of a broken heart. So she was in bitterness of soul and people didn't understand her. But then she went and vowed and said that, if God would give her a son, she would give him back to the Lord. Verse 13, now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought that she had been drunken. So Eli or Eli the priest thought that Hannah was drunk. And Eli said unto her, how long will you be drunken? Put away thine wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. Do you see that? A woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaiden for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and ate, and her countenance was no more sad. She was no longer sad. She came out of that sadness. It's important to come out of it, see? So when she came out of it, what happened? She got pregnant. She got pregnant. That's why the Bible told us that what? It says that a broken spirit, it does what? It dries the bones. It said laughter, okay? It said a merry heart does good like what? Medicine. But then it says that a broken spirit does what? Dries the bones. A merry heart does good like medicine. That's Proverbs 17:22. So a merry heart, it does good like medicine. It heals. But it says a broken spirit, it dries the bones. What does that mean? It dries the bones. So you find it's a state of dryness. Now, even medically, you have certain conditions that are inflammatory states, chronic inflammatory states. They could be autoimmune conditions or even infections or all kinds of things. And all those things, the Bible says that they are from a place of dryness. And it says that depression would lead to that. Depression would lead to that. So this is an important point to pay attention to. Don't neglect it. Don't just say that, oh, I'm just a sad person or whatever, because it has multiple effects, okay? And it affects things outside also, not just the physical body, but things outside the physical body, okay? If you trace yourself, you realize the time that you are most productive, okay? You are most productive. Those are times where you are glad, you are happy, okay? Those are the times that you are most happy. You are most happy. Those are the times you are excited. If you're working in a place where you are happy, you tend to be more productive. You are able to, if you're happy at home, you see that home will be successful and things will go well. Things will go well. But in the absence of that, there's a whole struggle. Okay? There's a whole struggle. Let's look at the book of Joel. Joel chapter 1, verse 12. It says, the vine is dried up, and the fig tree languisheth, the pomegranate tree, the palm tree, and the apple tree, even all the trees of the field are withered. Why? It said, because joy is withered away from the sons of men. Because joy is withered away from the sons of men. And it says that because of that, the fig tree languishes, pomegranate tree, the palm tree, the apple tree, the trees of the field, all of them. He says, all those things. He says, because joy is withered from the sons of men. So sadness is not something to be countenanced. Okay, don't condone it for too long. And I'm going to get into how you can get out of it as well. How you can get out of it, which is most important.